Hey guys, welcome to MCU 616 After Hours!
Yep, so we're doing our double feature this week. I know it was kind of confusing from last time, but I think we figured out the kinks and stuff like that. So we're kind of back on track, and we'll be getting ready for Loki on June 9th.
Can't wait for that.
I am so excited.
So just a little disclaimer. So this episode takes place after Infinity War. We haven't recorded Infinity War yet, so just like bear with us with that kind of stuff. But yeah, we're doing things a little out of order just because of scheduling, but it's still going to be fantastic.
Yeah, so...
Don't you worry.
So we're doing Ant-Man and the Wasp today and Captain Marvel. So yeah, these two do take place after Infinity War. So if you haven't seen Infinity War, or if it's been a little while, go watch it and come back. But yeah, so...
I guess we'll jump right into it.
Yeah.
So let's do this thing.
So Ant-Man and the Wasp, let's start with that. Really good movie, honestly. I don't think we ever get to see enough of Ant-Man. I feel like he's so underrated, so I love this movie.
Yeah, no, I agree.
So we do get a few new people for this movie. We get Agent Jimmy Woo, and Ghost, which is the villain for this movie. So let's start with, Agent Jimmy Woo. I know Matt really likes him.
We love him.
I know Matt really likes him, so why don't you want to
say it? Okay, so Jimmy Woo, he's just one of those funny characters that really doesn't belong in the MCU. Like, at the very beginning, like, he's just, like, some, like, extra, you know? Like, he doesn't really have, like, a
purpose
besides being, like...
An extra.
I'm your house arrest agent. Don't leave. That's literally his role for, like, half the movie.
Yup.
But, like, it's just, he's just funny, so... basically, he looks after Scott Lang after the events of Civil War because he broke the Sokovia Accords and all of that bullshit.
Yeah, he's under house arrest for 2 years, and then I think Hope and Hank Pym are also, like, on the run because it was their technology that he used in Civil War. So, in that sense, he kind of, like, fucked them over, too. But that's fine.
Yeah, kind of sucks.
So, basically, they're on the run from the FBI, and Scott just took, like, I think a plea deal was.
Yeah. So Jimmy Woo is basically just being, like, the supporting character for the movie, and he's, like, one of the funny little Easter eggs is, like, he's fascinated with Scott's, like, card tricks, because Scott took up magic while he was, like, in house arrest and shit.
Oh, yeah. What else
are you gonna do when you're on house arrest for 2 fucking years?
Yeah, we don't see Jimmy Woo again until, what is it, WandaVision, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not a spoiler, guys, so don't worry. It's really not a spoiler.
Yeah. But happens first episode, like,
yeah,
chill. So, but can we just say how Scott literally was under house arrest for 2 years and then Infinity War happened?
Dude, could you imagine like
that's like being locked in your house for 2 years and then quarantine happening.
Well, I know for him, like, I can't say it because we're not at Endgame yet, but
like, we'll get there. We'll get there with the end credit scene. It gets, like...
I know.
But, like... We get some stuff.
I know.
But we can't go into those details.
We know, but we can't, like, say it.
It's fine. Is it fine? No.
No.
It's fine.
It's not fine, but it's fine. So, and then the ghost for this... The villain for this movie is Ghost. So her powers come from the quantum realm, and so she phases and shifts, like, into and out of reality. I feel like that's the best way to describe it.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. She just becomes, like, intangible.
She's kind of like Vision, like, where she can, like, walk through walls and shit like that. Like,
that's a good way to put it.
Right?
I never thought of her like that. Like, she just, like, can't control it, and it, like, hurts her a lot.
Her cells are, like, constantly, like, being destroyed and, like, put back together or something like that, I think she said.
Sounds like fun.
So, yeah, I would really love that. But basically, she's trying to get Pym's wife so Janet can fix her. But Janet is stuck in the quantum realm, so she, like, is trying to harness her power. So, yeah, trying to kill a woman who's been trapped in the quantum realm for 30 years, that's no big deal.
Love that. I guess since we talked about the major, like, new characters that we've, you know, discovered, I guess we should talk about, like, the technology and that kind of stuff. So, we have the Wasp suit. Which
finally
is, like, super interesting, because it's just the Ant-Man suit, but it's for, you know, Hope.
Dude, honestly, I wish they gave, like, Ant-Man wings, but, like, I know it don't defeat, like, the whole purpose, but still, like, I don't know. I guess I do kind of like him flying on the ants, but then the ants die and it makes me sad.
Everything makes you sad.
Rip. Rip. Oh my, no, Anthony died, like, the first movie, and it was so upset. Whatever. We're not getting into this, but it's fine. But basically, her suit is the same thing as Ant-Man's. It just has wings and, like, actual defense mechanisms and stuff like that. So, I think that's all you really need to know.
Yeah.
About that.
Yeah, it's kind of
So, yeah. So, before we get to the end credits, Quantum Realm, I think we should probably discuss a little bit more.
Yeah, so there's really not too much of a expansion of the Quantum Realm in this movie. There's just, like, a few little things that we learned.
Well, we definitely learned
from what we learned in Ant-Man.
We definitely learned more about it just because we see actual more time in there and things like that.
Yeah, but it's, like, it's very set up for, like, just, like, it's very just set up, it feels like. It doesn't really feel like we're done in the Quantum Realm.
No, we're definitely going more into it, 100%.
But, so we learned that you can actually survive in the Quantum Realm because, Janet, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Janet.
Yeah, there
it's
you
such
go.
A weird, it's such a weird name for, like, an MCU character.
I know.
Like, all these people have, like, they I don't have, know, mainstream names?
They have, like, I don't even know. Like, I know Scott is, like, a normal name, but, like, it's also not. I feel like you don't hear a lot of Scotts anymore.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't know. Janet is just an older woman's name. Too.
Yeah, okay, so back to Janet.
Sense. Anyway.
So Janet could survive in the Quantum Realm, so we know that it's possible to survive in the Quantum Realm. We also learned that there's different levels of the Quantum Realm. We'll get into that in a little bit, but each level of the Quantum Realm has different effects on the person. Like, if you're deeper in it, time might go by faster, or there might be different creatures, or if you are, like, closer to, like, the surface, there might be, like, less creatures and faster time or some shit. Like, they don't really go into the exact details of the differences, but they just say that there's...
Well, in the one scene, you see Hank Pym, like, he kind of, like, is out of it at one point when he's in one of the thing. I don't know where he was, but, like, in one level or, like, space continuum thing, you know, he would, like, you see him kind of being, like, where the fuck am I and shit like that.
And then the last thing we learn is that there's these things called quantum particles. We know nothing about them other than they're there and you can get them from the quantum realm, but it's super dangerous.
I don't really think they talked more about that yet, really, in the MCU.
Yeah, like they literally just said, there's quantum particles. You can get them. That's all they said.
That's probably, you know, that's I know this is a little off topic, but that's probably what the third Ant-Man is going to talk about, is harnessing power from the quantum realm and things like that.
It is called Quantumania.
Yeah. Ooh, look at me. Oh, theorizing.
Damn, oh my god, we're getting there.
I know, we're almost at that episode.
I mean, while we're there, I might as well just say this. Maybe it's going to be, like, another way for the multiverse to get, like, introduced.
That's what I was thinking, also.
More fully fledged.
Because I know Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, doesn't come out until, what, 2022?
March 28th, 2022.
2022, and then Spider-Man No Way Home, like...
That comes out in December.
We honestly have no idea when the multiverse is going to be. Like, we know it's going to be in Doctor Strange.
But and we also, know it's probably going to be in Spider-Man because...
We don't
think Olivia Olsen is going to be it, or Elizabeth Olsen's going to be in it.
Oh, yeah, she is. But that could also...
But that might just be a red herring.
Yeah, like, she could also just be in it where he's trying to, like, maybe, you know, stop her. Like, maybe it comes up on his radar, like, of her doing shit, not Doctor Strange. But who knows? I'm really... Because I really honestly have no idea what Spider-Man is going to be. I know we, like, went off topic, but this is just what happens. I have no idea what Spider-Man is going to be about because, you know, last movie, we kind of just, you know, it didn't really feel like there was a lot to expand on, I feel like. Besides, like, him, like, being exposed as who he was. Or maybe, you know what? Oh, my God. She might be there to, like, erase people's minds about who he is and shit like that.
You know, we're going to have to cut half of this shit.
No, we're fine.
And whatever. Half the people that are watching this shit have seen the other movies.
Yeah. No,
we
didn't give anything away, but I'm saying...
Whatever.
No, because her powers are, like, telekinesis and stuff like that, and, like, mind manipulation.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. I don't know. I'm always tripping with spoilers just because, like...
No, I didn't spoil
it. I've had a really shit relationship with spoilers. I mean, I feel like we all have, but, like, I've had a really... shit relationship with spoilers, so I'm, like, super uber cautious, you know?
No, I didn't give any
looking out for you guys.
No, there was nothing, like, given away.
Yeah.
But, anyway, now that we went on that little tangent...
I guess we should just finish with Ant-Man and the Wasp's end credit scenes.
Yeah, definitely.
So I have hailed them the dusting credits.
Jesus.
Because that's just what happens. It got dusted, you know?
Yeah, so obviously we know what happens in Infinity War. So...
Yeah. Oh, God. We'll get into that emotional turmoil in a little bit.
Yeah, but at the end of Ant-Man and the Wasp, you see Scott go into the quantum realm for the quantum particles, right? That's what he was doing?
Yeah.
And then, you know, they're supposed to pull him out, and then it zooms out to where they are, and there's just dust. And you're like, oh, I know what that is.
Thanos fucking got him. Damn.
Shit, so the only reason I think Scott wasn't affected was because he was in the quantum realm, and it's like it's its own mini little universe, so essentially it's not part of this universe.
Yeah, I originally thought the same thing, but then as we were, like, preparing for this podcast, I looked it up, and...
That just makes sense in my mind, so I just keep it like that.
No, it's a totally good theory, and, like, it was a good enough theory that I think it was Kevin Feige came out and said... Yeah, it was just luck of the draw that he didn't get dusted.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Yeah, that's my headcanon, though, that it's its own universe.
Yeah, no, it's honestly, it's a really good explanation for it.
Yeah, so if you want to think of it that way, think of it that
way. Much better than luck.
Yeah, definitely. And then we have our Roses and the Thorns segment.
Can't wait. Do you want to go first?
Yeah, I'll start. So my rose, I think, for this movie is... just, like, seeing Hank's technology consistently improve from the first movie, and then just the comedic aspect of the Ant-Man's movie, it's kind of, like, this movie kind of reflects on a little, not exactly, but a little bit on Ragnarok in the comedic sense. It's obviously not as funny, but it's, like, I like that we're seeing more comedy brought into these movies, because I think that's what really makes the MCU the MCU.
Yeah, I agree. I also think that, like, if we don't have comedy, the stakes aren't as high, you know? Like, we're not as connected to the characters, so, like, when they're about to, like, fucking die, we don't really give a shit. They're like, oh, you know, they just had some cool powers, and it sucks that they're not gonna be here, but, like, bring anything good here.
Yeah, even with, like, Tony Stark, going back to him, like, he was also, like, kind of comedic, but, like, in his narcissistic, like, all-about-himself sense.
So, like, if we didn't have his, like, narcissism... the comedy wouldn't have been as good, and neither would his, like, overall plot.
Yeah, definitely. So, okay. I think my rose
kind of goes along with yours with the quantum realm. Just, like, instead of, like, technology, it's just being more, like, in-depth with just, like, all of the cool, like, sci-fi shit.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, like, really cool, you know?
Yeah, no, I think that's cool. Especially because we're going to get so much more into it. Like, I think this was a really good, like, base to explain, like, what the quantum realm is, too.
Because the first movie we were like, this is a quantum realm.
And you're like, what is that?
And this movie is like, this is a quantum realm. You can survive and there's these special particles.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
So Endgame's going to be dope.
Oh, I'm excited to talk about that.
And so what was your thorn?
My thorn... So I wrote this and now I'm kind of like... Now it's kind of like not really like true. Like it still is true, but like not really. I said... The only relevance to the MCU as a whole is the quantum realm, but, like, I don't know, like, honestly...
I mean, you're right.
Yeah, but, like, to me, it's honestly not really a thorn. Like, I really didn't not like anything about this movie, I don't think. Maybe the villain...
Yeah, no, this movie was fine. Nothing was wrong with it. It was very standalone, you know?
Yeah, so, I was just saying, like, the quantum realm really is focused on later in Endgame, and then, you know, in the future of the MCU, which is fine. But, like, if I had to pick a thorn, that would be it. But I didn't really, like, dislike anything about this movie. If that makes any sense.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think, so my thorn is only, I didn't like this movie only because it's between Infinity War and Endgame.
Oh, yeah, I remember you saying that.
Like, and I think I speak for a lot of people. I mean, I am spoiled in the fact that I got to watch Infinity War, these two movies, and Endgame in, like, 3 months.
Yeah, you're the worst.
But the people that watched these when it came out, Infinity War came out, and then these two movies came out, and then Endgame came out, and I think it was like, what, a year and a half difference or something?
Infinity War came out, and then I think Endgame came out like a year later, a year and a half. It definitely wasn't more than, like, a year and a half. But I think it was, like, almost a year exactly. Maybe, like, a year and, like, 2 months. But I remember, like, it coming out and I was at work. And I didn't think I would be able to get off of work in time to go see it. So I didn't buy tickets. And then I got off of work early. And I, like, literally raced to the movie theater. And, like, bought tickets and sat in that theater for, like, an hour before the movie started. Just so I would have a seat. And I was like, I'm not getting spoiled. So that's what I did.
I just watched it, like, last year, so.
That's okay. We'll forgive. We will forgive.
So, now that we're done Ant-Man, I guess we'll talk about the most controversial Marvel movie to ever grace the screen.
Don't even get me started on this, but before we do that, we're going to take a quick little break, and we'll be right back.
And we're back. So, let's just jump right into it. This shouldn't take too long, but also I really want to spend some time on Brie Larson.
Oh my gosh, me and you.
So we have. Do you want to talk about Captain Marvel and then go on our Brie Larson tangent?
I think we should talk about the movie first, and then we'll get into her. I think, yeah.
I agree.
Because me and you have similar but also conflicting viewpoints about her and stuff like that.
First of all, I think we should both say that we love this movie.
Yeah. No.
Very good plot movie. Very good, like, MCU movie. Lots of, like, Easter eggs. Lots, like, this is a very well done movie. It's one of the higher grossing movies in the MCU.
It's everything you'd, like, want from an MCU movie.
I think it's the second highest grossing solo film behind Black Panther.
Seriously?
Yeah. Like, that's how good this movie went.
It's probably... I know we talked about this earlier, and I hate to be the person to say this, because I don't believe...
But it's probably because it's in between Infinity War and Endgame, and everyone wanted something.
Yup.
I agree. It sucks to say it, but I agree. I don't know. I have a lot of my friends have still, like, have yet to see this movie.
Oh, really?
Like, they refuse to watch it. That's how polarized this movie is. There's people like you and me that like this movie, and then there's people like them that are like, this movie is not, I'm not even gonna, like, touch this movie. I'm looking at you, Jackie.
Oh, my gosh. I don't understand. Whatever. I don't even understand it. So, we're just going to go into the movie and then...
We're just going to jump into it. Let's do it. Fuck it. Let's do it.
Okay. So, this is a prequel, obviously. So, it's set in 1985. So, basically...
Intro.
So, basically, it goes, like, the chronological order. It goes, like, Captain America, First Avenger, and Captain then it comes Marvel, her.
And then...
Yeah. So, this brings us back to the Kree and Skrull...
that we saw in Guardians.
Yeah, so this is kind of like where it begins.
Nice little throwback. So remember we talked about that, like, war in Guardians? Like, there was that, like, thousand-year war where, like, a bunch of people died, and then there was that big treaty that the Xandarians and the Kree entered in the Skrull, and they're like, yeah, we're not gonna fight anymore, and the Kree were like, well, fuck this sucks.
I think it was Ronan that was, like, that was unhappy about it, honestly.
Yeah.
I'm not sure, though. Like, I could be wrong, but... So, basically, this is set, like, during the war, and, like, the Kree are trying to eradicate the Skrulls. So, they're making, like, their citizens and Captain Marvel believe, like, that the Skrulls are, like, terrorists and trying to, like, you know, infiltrate and kill. When in reality...
Love intergalactic war, don't you?
Yeah. Basically, it's genocide. Let's just stick with that.
Yeah. We'll just call it... They just want to try and eradicate the entire Skrulls, take over everything that they have...
Yeah.
It's bullshit. We hate the Kree.
Yeah, so basically it's just straight up genocide in this bitch, so I can say
that. But we also have Ronan again.
Yeah.
He's alive because it's a prequel.
So
it's, like, kind of nice to see him because he's, like, not actually, like, a super bad guy now.
He was, we only
he's
see
just
him
doing his
very,
orders and shit, right?
We only see him at the very end, I think.
Yeah.
So we didn't get, like, a lot of screen time from him, but...
But it's still a nice, like, callback. And, yeah. Like, it shows that he wasn't, like, a complete dick.
Well, it also shows, too, like, where, like, his hate and stuff came from and things like that.
Yeah.
So, and then that was basically all there was about the Korean Skrull War. But one more thing about Ronan at the end, you know, like, he tries to deploy those ships on Earth, but, you know, Captain Marvel, like, fucks him up real good. And then Ronan becomes, like, worried because Earth shouldn't have that strong of a defense system. Like, that's basically exactly what he says. So they pack it up and get out of there. But then that brings us to the Rambos.
We love the Rambos. So Carol Danvers' best friend is Maria Rambeau, and her daughter, her name's Monica.
Monica becomes
like really prevalent in the MCU later on during WandaVision and everything else.
Yeah.
But Carol and Maria are just like best friends. They flew together. They did all these missions and shit and training. So they just have like a really good relationship.
Yeah, they were in the Air Force together, if you guys didn't pick that up.
And basically, the Rambos are just, they're basically her only allies when she comes back to Earth.
Yeah, and like the only people that like remember her, honestly.
So we have that.
Yeah, so then we go.
We also have like, there's a lot of plot stuff that, like, it's just so good, but we're not going to get into it. Like, we have, Skrull people, we have Talos come in. Love Talos. I'm just going to go on like a little tangent with Talos. Talos is just one of those Skrull guys. Really cool.
Oh, I love him.
He's actually becomes like a pretty prevalent character too. Mm-hmm. Like, we have a lot of characters that are introduced in this movie and then aren't brought up again. But
I think he's going to be brought up again. I don't think they can't not bring him up.
Well, he gets brought up in WandaVision, at least by name.
Oh, wait. He does. Okay, wait. We can't talk about WandaVision anymore, or else we're going to...
We can't talk about WandaVision. We're just saying he comes back up, so we're just talking about it.
Yeah, but no.
Saying how, why, or what. But he does. So, Talos. We just love him.
But, yeah.
Anyway. Now we have some, like, Easter eggs, some other shit. First of all, I just really had to say...
The Flurkin?
The damn cat...
The Flurkin!
Okay, so basically, Flurkins have a pocket dimension inside of them, and they can store things, and the pocket dimension also has tentacles for, like, defense and offense. Basically, they're just, like, a cat that could kill. Killer cat.
Oh, my God. Honestly, that's what made this movie, I think, really... Not, like, made the movie, but it was also, like, an aspect that made the movie, like, really funny was, like, everyone being afraid of this damn cat.
Yeah. The last thing about the cat, he took Fury's left eye, which was, it's just, like, a really good way to explain it.
Yeah, because
like, I wouldn't have accepted any other way for Fury to lose his eye.
Right. I also, like, didn't understand, though, like, why did he lose his eye that way? Like, I guess it was, like, a poisonous type of scratch, but still, sad.
Yeah. It's kind of funny, though.
Right? Like, this badass guy.
And then we have the Space Stone, my favorite thing. We finally have it called the Space Stone instead of the Tesseract.
Oh, yeah, this is the movie that this happens.
Which is, like, pretty cool, because, like, we knew that it was an Infinity Stone, but we didn't know which one it was.
Yeah, we never
knew that it was either the Time Stone, or not the Time, I'm stupid. It was either the Space Stone or the Last Stone that we haven't been introduced to yet.
Mm-hmm, yeah. So this is what, it's used from the project Pegasus, run by Howard Stark. And I think they said it could be used to create, like, a light-speed spacecraft, right?
Yeah, that's, like, half the plot of the movie is they want the Tesseract to build a light-speed spacecraft so the Skrull can never be targeted by the Kree again.
Yeah, yeah. It was, yeah, this movie's, yeah, like, what we said, basically about, like, genocide and trying to, like, save them.
And then we had the real end credit scene, like, the big one that actually mattered, not the cat one. Basically, Captain Marvel returns after Nick called her via that transponder that he gave her, or that she gave him.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, she's ready to fight, kill some bitches, and the Flurkin throws up the Tesseract, so...
I forgot that was the end credits. Is this the one where she was like, where is Fury?
Yeah. And, like, we have Cap and Black Widow.
Then what was the Infinity War one? No, I'm trying... Whatever. It's fine.
No, so the Infinity War one was Nick Fury called her.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
This one was she came.
Okay. Yeah, no, you're right.
So as we said, we, like, both of these movies are really good. Like, my rose for this movie was the fan service. There's just lots of Easter eggs, lots of little moments, and it just, like, basically pulled all, like, the loose ends. We got Agent Coulson. Oh. We just got, like, a lot of shit.
Yeah.
Really brought everything together. It was really nice to just see everything.
That's true. My rose was that we finally had, like, you know, a solo female lead superhero. I thought it was about time that the MCU did this, that, like, you know, it was solo. It's very feminist and female empowering, and I love that we got that, too.
Yeah. I mean, can't wait to talk about that one part from Endgame that we all know.
great part. I loved it, but it was also like kind of cheesy, and I was like,
no. Okay, no, we can't talk about it.
I know.
I just had to bring it up because I had to.
Well, it's your fault now, so.
Okay, what was your thorn, though?
This is my thorn. I'm probably going to get hate for this. This is where we start to get into our little tangent, but.
Yeah. Also, my thorn is basically the exact same thing.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure
this is. Just like a little bit different.
Yeah, you can say it, but I know I'm going to get hate for this, but this movie was everything a fan would expect from a Marvel movie. Literally everything was good about it. Like, it was a good movie, like, acting was good, like, storyline, plot was good. People just hated on it because of Brie Larson, and I think it was due to, like, interviews and because her character was arrogant, but that can be said for Tony Stark also. And I also just believe there was a lot of, I don't even know what I was about to say. Like, but yeah.
Like, people just hated her because they hated her.
Yeah, there really was no, like, good explanation, in my opinion. You know, everyone has their own opinion, but in my thought process, I was like, no. I thought it was good.
So, my thorn was basically the same. I said that this movie gets a bad rap because Brie Larson is a bitch.
Yeah. Like...
And, like, I'm sorry, like, not to, like, badmouth her, but, like, she is kind of a bitch. If you've seen her interviews and shit, she would always say, like, oh, I'm the strongest Avenger... No one can beat me.
Like, she is strong, but, like...
Like, she is strong, but, like, you can't just, like... It's just the arrogance of her character. Like, she thinks that her character is the best because she plays the character.
Yeah. Like we can't...
It's annoying.
I'm not going to say anything about you-know-who, but, like, let's take, like, Thor, for example. Like, he's a literal god of thunder, bitch. Like... That's the one thing that bothered me about her. I was like, dude, like, he literally comes from mythology, bro. Like, you're gonna tell me you're stronger than that man? Like, no. Obviously, we don't know because they haven't had, like, a one-on-one fight, but, like, I'm pretty sure Thor could hold his own. Like, homeboy.
I don't know. Personally, I think even Wanda in, like, the Wanda that we know in Infinity War, I think is more powerful than her.
I think Wanda could take her, like, from Infinity War, like...
I definitely think Infinity War Wanda could take...
The whole issue with Captain Marvel is, like, we don't know enough about her powers. Like, what, cause she can just...
We know that she can do photon blasts, and she can fly.
I just don't...
Breathe in space.
I just don't even, like, understand, like, what makes her so powerful with that, though. Like, doesn't someone else have, like, photon blasts or something like that?
I think it's... Just the fact that she can do them whenever she wants. Like, she can just have them on command, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that's the biggest thing. Like, I mean, her power did come from the Space Stone. So, she does have, like, that kind of connection, the same connection that Wanda does. But I don't think she's as in tune with her powers as Wanda.
Well, Wanda's...
Because Wanda's comes from the Mind Stone.
Yeah,
so, okay. They both come from stones. So, I just think that Wanda has a better control of her power in general.
Well, Wanda learned to have better control of her power. I think Captain...
Well, yeah. Like, even after Ultron, like, she was doing pretty good.
Yeah. I don't know.
But,
I just...
You know. But, like, I think the one thing I did want to say is, for the people that didn't like this movie because of Brie Larson,
very first misogyny.
Of all, watch it if you didn't, because you're missing a lot of plot shit.
It's just a good movie.
I mean, the fact that you're watching this episode is honestly good enough if you really hated it that much.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm always going to say watch it because I'm a completionist and I think that,
like, if you
part of the experience is watching it.
If you take away everything, let's say you do hate Brie Larson, just forget who she is as a person and just watch the movie as, like,
yeah.
Her character and everything like that. Like, I never really watched the interviews with her for some reason. I don't know why I didn't, but, like, I've seen, like, a few. And, like, I see what people are saying, like, and you can see how her castmates are, like, looking at her, too, and, like, things like that. And I'm like, okay, that's kind of a telltale sign.
Honestly, okay, this is, like, going really deep, but, like, remember all that Victoria Justice shit with Victorious?
Kind of, yeah.
Like, the whole cast, like, everyone said that the whole cast hated her and shit.
Yeah.
Because she said something.
Yeah.
Like, it's very much, like, that kind of attitude.
Okay, yeah.
Like, it's very, like, yeah, I respect you as an actress, but you're kind of a bitch.
But you're kind of a shitty person.
And we don't want to be around you.
Yeah.
But you're a dope-ass actress.
Yeah, like, you can hate her as much as you want, but you can't deny that she's a bad actress. Like, nothing...
You can't deny that she's a good actress.
Or a good actress, yeah, sorry. Oh, God. You can hate her as much as you want, but you can't deny that she's a good actress. Like, the movie itself was good, the acting was good. Like, she portrayed her character very well. And, like, if you're going to say, well, I hate her because of her character, that's who her character is supposed to be.
Yeah. It's like, I mean, I will say that Captain Marvel is very arrogant, almost to the point where it's not even acceptable. Like, Tony Stark was arrogant, but then, like, throughout his first movie, he, like, basically fixed himself.
Yeah, like, that's what I was going to say. Like, Tony's arrogant.
But Captain Marvel doesn't have that opportunity. She's just more arrogant because she's like, yeah, I can fly now, bitches. Like, yeah, you know?
No, Tony was arrogant, but we see character development. With her in her first movie, the only development you really get is her, like, realizing, oh, the Skrulls, like, aren't, like, terrorists.
Yeah.
And then, like, helping them. But she still has, like, her same personality, and that's fine. Like, you can't change a person's personality. But I think a major reason, too, was a lot of misogyny that went into this. Like, a lot of people just didn't like the idea of a female lead. That's a theory I've heard. I don't know if I actually, like, believe that, but that's just, like, a theory I'm throwing out there. But other than that, I think that's our hot take for it.
I mean, the last thing I wanted to say about it is, if you really didn't like her, you're probably not going to have to deal with her for more than one more movie after Endgame, because I don't know if you guys saw, this isn't a spoiler, by the way.
This is just an announcement.
So Captain Marvel 2, we talked about in our very first episode that it was coming out. They actually Marvel changed the name from Captain Marvel 2 to The Marvels to include different characters that will get introduced later on.
Yeah, we don't want to give anything away right now.
But basically, she, right after they did that she said in some interview, or there was like a report that said that she's looking for a new superhero role outside of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So it looks like Disney and Marvel is just trying to get rid of her.
Where's she gonna go? DC? Like,
I don't know, but that's just what the reports are saying. More and more news is coming out every day. I'm sure by the time Captain Marvel 2 comes out, or The Marvels comes out, we'll figure out what's actually going to happen with her.
No, I know, but my whole thing is, like, there's no other, like, superhero franchise that's, like, bigger than Marvel. Like, anywhere else she goes is going to be, like, a downgrade. Like, I don't know if you've seen on Netflix, like, Jupiter's Legacy.
I don't know, maybe she'll go to The Boys on Amazon Prime.
I don't know. It's just
shout out to The Boys on Amazon Prime. Highly recommend.
I have not seen it, so I will look at it.
But yeah, I think that's it for Captain Marvel. Did you have anything else you wanted to add?
No, I think that's it. I think we said what we had to say about it. You know, you can't not talk about the controversy when you talk about this movie.
Yeah, they're kind of just two and two.
Yeah. So I think that was it for this episode, and then we'll be talking about Endgame next, right?
Yeah, so thank you guys for coming to this nice little special episode. I know that it was kind of shorter than our usual episodes, but
I don't know, it might be about 30 minutes, this one, I think.
I don't know. Honestly, it's just that controversy that carried us.
Don't mind my dogs in the background, but
we will see you guys next week for Endgame.
Get ready.
We already released Infinity War, so you guys can rewatch that as many times as you want.
Yeah, re-listen.
Just keep going, and we'll see you guys next week, okay?
All right, bye.